Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
And welcome to the Red Men TV. It's the review show. I'm Chris Paydeck. That's Tom Dutton, and we've got Ross Chandler over there. Bing.
Never read that in school at all, Chris. Thanks for that.
Chris is just pissed off because he played football yesterday and nearly killed him.
I'm not sure they'd call it playing football, but yeah, I'm dead. Yeah. I'm absolutely dead. It was a charity match. You're supposed to feel good after a charity match. I feel terrible. It was for a good cause, and I enjoy that. But I feel terrible, absolutely terrible. Anyway, I did my best work, as Jamie Carragher once told me, off the ball and off the field.
Yeah.
Which broke my heart as well. But there we go. I played centre-back, not very well. I shouldn't ever be allowed to have a go at Dejan Lovren, ever again.
So this is the review show for that game, not United game?
No. If it was the review show for that game, it would last a lot longer than this is going to.
Fair enough.
So we're going to get into it then. First of all, obviously Liverpool drew 0-0 with Manchester United on Saturday. We've had a couple of days now to really digest that result, digest that performance. I wanted to start off with a question about United. Tom, what did you think about the way that they played?
It was weird, wasn't it? When a team that good comes and just plays effectively 10 men behind the ball, it's always going to be so hard to break that down. That's what Mourinho's always been so good at. I think they didn't need to really go for anything there. I know all the United fans expected they'd be amazing, but I don't think they don't need to come to Anfield and do anything, really. The way they beat us is to sit back, wait for the counter, and they nearly did it with Lukaku, to be fair. But it's a good game plan against Liverpool, so fair play to them.
What about you, Ross?
It is, but I can never imagine whatever level of football you're playing, going to a game and not going for a win, regardless of who you are, especially Man United, to be honest. I know I saw you post-match things about Ferguson, like, you know, he'd never do that. But I don't think you can pick and choose where you're going to pick your points up from, because you could easily lose the next 3, 4, 5 games. Look back on that game and go, well, we didn't really try, so, do you know what I mean? It can bite you on the arse in a couple of months' time.
Okay, well, I asked the same question into the comments section, of course. Actually, we'll be filming the Final Word show later on this morning with John Machen as well and Ben Kelly, and that's where we get into the crux of the game. We'll use a lot more of the comments and stuff in this one. Evan Don Levy said, United just hoped to catch us on the counter-attack. I think they hoped to counter us on the counter-attack. I don't think they really did much counter-attack, and I think they had one shot on target in the entire game, which was a good save from Simon Mignolet, in fairness. Johnny Bravo says, considering they said they were going to smash us 4-0, bullshit. Dominic Manning, they played like death. Jamie Howsam, I think we'd done the best we could regarding their defensive setup. We should have scored, though, maybe. I don't know. It says we should have, though. Liverpool should have taken more risks as a fella. Do you agree with that, Tom?
Well, that's interesting, because on the commentary, Hughes obviously went to the game and I was watching it at home. And on the commentary, Jamie Carragher said we should just go for this. And I really disagree with that. If we lose that 1-0 because we overextend too slightly, say the 65th minute, he goes all out. I know he went 70th minute and brought two people on. But if we go too early on that and then we lose the midfield, then that's 25 minutes of them just peppering our goal, and they've got quality. So then everyone goes, oh, we're terrible at defending again, when in reality we're not, we just overextended. So
I must admit, I agree with that, and I thought it was a real sort of change in Klopp's tactics, Ross, for this game. I thought, you know, we've seen it in the past where And it's been pointed at Klopp a few times during his Liverpool tenure, is that he only knows one way to play football, and it's attack, 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 attack. And I don't think we saw that this time against Manchester United. For me, we were much more, as Tom says, measured in our approach. You know, we didn't overextend ourselves. We let the attacking players attack, and the likes of Joe Gomez and Alberto Moreno didn't join the attack as much as they could have done. And I think we were a little bit worried about their counter-attack. For us, it was definitely a do-not-lose game. You know, of course we wanted to get the win and we wanted the 3 points, but that could have been devastating to us if we'd have gone all out attack and lost the game.
Yeah, at that point of that commentary, I think it was early on in the first half, and I think a cross came into the box and there was no one there, but it looked like there was no one there because they had 7-8 people in the box. Yeah. And like you said, you can overcommit. I thought it was one of our better defensive displays. Now, you said they only had one shot on target, but I thought we limited them with that midfield and that defensive stepping off a bit, and maybe that's something going forward that we can run into, because we've all seen the Burnley game, Sevilla game, where we have overcommitted. And then, I mean, I think another game, you know, if it's not for David De Gea, you go in front in there, don't you? And then they have to change they have to adopt their style of play, and they have to come out and play.
It's one of them, because we defended. It's the way we play every game, and we just recycle the ball so well. We get them. We get the ball, get to the ball early, I should say, and just smother them. And we do it every single game consistently. And when it works like that, it's fantastic to watch. I was literally watching it with a massive smile across my face. Every time they went to attack, we went, no,
yeah,
we'll take the ball back in the midfield and we'll start again from midfield.
Yeah.
And it's been a factor of Klopp since he's come in. It's great.
Just a quick one, sorry, for Tom. Scott Richmond says Tom looks like an albino Salah.
Yeah.
Okay. Happy with that?
Thank you.
And then, okay, we'll move it on then, because we wanted to talk about this later on in the show anyway. Jack Bascom says, thought Oxlade-Chamberlain should have come on earlier. He was impressive when he came on. I thought we missed someone who could run at defenders. He deserves more credit. And he also asked, who do you want to look at in January? So we'll take the substitution start of that, please, first. And Irish Blood Red says, why does Klopp take so long to make substitutions? Ross, do you want to answer those?
Yeah, substitutions, I agree. Oxlade-Chamberlain, he looked really sharp when he came on. He was a bit of a threat. Substitutions, yeah, it's hard for me, because I always think change something and mix it up, like you have someone that comes fresh and like that. But in the games that we played, there's not been anyone that's been terrible to take off. It's just that last bit of trying to score a goal. There isn't anyone that played crap on Saturday, I don't think. And I'm struggling. Who do you take off? Maybe you take Firmino off, or... Oh, I don't think he did in the end, did he?
Yeah, he took Firmino off for Solanke, yeah, in the 87th.
That, for me, is 87 minutes is too late for someone to come in and try and affect a bigger game as that is. So, across the board, yeah, substitutions for me are too late.
I think, you know, for me, and talking about this game first and foremost, I did feel that they were a little bit late. I think generally speaking, I do think the Klopp makes his substitutions a little bit late. But also on the flip side, I was sat next to a mate of mine, James, at the back of the cop, and we spoke on 60 about whether you'd make a substitution, and both of us said probably not, to be honest with you. Now, I didn't think it would go to 78 and 79 when the substitutions are made. You know, Oxlade-Chamberlain comes on for Salah and Coutinho's replaced by Sturridge, I think, a minute later. Now, our conversation around 60, Tom, was who do you take off? And if you make a substitution and you lose the game, you're in a world of pain here. But we're dominating possession, we're doing everything right, we're creating chances, we're still not finishing the chance, which is the story of our season so far. I can understand why Klopp didn't roll the dice, is what I'm trying to say.
That's it, we were in the flow. We were in the flow, we were pinning them back like we had all game, and I think it is hard because you need to make sure that they're going to be defensively minded, I guess. I can't remember what the right word for it is, but you need to know that when they come on, they're not going to break the rotation, and that's the big struggle. I think Oxlade-Chamberlain looked good when he came on, but before the game, loads of people were writing him off, saying, yeah, he's 35 million wasted, he's all this. So the start of the game, if you would have said before the game starts, you say bring him on, everyone's like, no, leave Salah on for the whole game. But because he's had, fair enough, he rounded the man twice and put a few good balls in, which is good. We need that bit of impetus from him. We need him to step up, because he's going to have to with Mane out. But I don't know. I think, especially with the bench we had, it's hard. Like, I wouldn't trust Sturridge to be able to track back. He did, to be fair. But, yeah.
The Sturridge one, I can totally understand the substitution. But again, you know, and I hate to call him out, he just doesn't work hard enough. And I think... Is it me calling him out? Because I think everybody knows that now. You know what you're going to get from Daniel Sturridge. I can understand why he's put in there, because Klopp wants someone to finish the ball in the area and stuff. He didn't get those opportunities. Oxlade-Chamberlain, I thought, was massively impressive when he came on. And if he isn't in the starting lineup for Maribor, we'll do the build-up show in the starting 11 later on today. I'll be really disappointed for him, because I think in those 15 minutes, that's as good a cameo from a Liverpool substitute as I've seen all season long from a 15-minute spell from a player coming into a massive game like that. You know, the first thing he does, I think it's Darmian at left-back at the time, first thing he does is round him twice, as you say, and he does it again. He hits three corners, I think, he takes during the game, two of which, one goes on Lovren's head, one goes on Matip's head, and the other's a poor one that I think goes out for a corner again anyway. Maybe it's the man at the near post.
Yeah.
That's good. One of the things that I found quite strange, I don't know whether anybody noticed this now, it might be a personal preference for me, I like in-swingers on corners, always have. Salah was taking them as an outswinger, and Coutinho was taking them as an outswinger, and I thought that was quite strange. Whichever side we were doing it, they were always outswingers. I don't know whether that's something I've not noticed so far this season, but I definitely noticed it in this game.
I haven't kept my eye on it, but I think it just gives you a bit more as a player attacking the ball in the box.
Maybe running onto it.
Yeah, I think maybe they must practice that all the time. I don't know. The in-swinger's hard because you're always going to give the goalkeeper a chance, and with David De Gea, maybe they're thinking, let's get it as far away as possible so we can at least get a melee in the box instead of David De Gea just going, I'll take that.
The goal that, we nearly scored from a corner because they cleared it out and then they all pushed out straight away, didn't they? And that's when Firmino did three or four of them and then brought it back in.
Is that the one for Matip?
Yeah, they're on the front foot running away from goal. Maybe that's how they would try and create some space.
That save from Matip by David De Gea is absolutely world class again, isn't it? He sticks a boot out, he's going the wrong way, somehow manages to not put it into his net. I mean, that's the difference. I mean, they said it in commentary, obviously I've watched the highlights back and stuff since the game, and they said it in commentary, he saves them points, and we saved them a point there for me again.
Yeah.
You know, and the confidence that he must give that back line, it's almost night and day with what we've seen so far from Liverpool goalkeepers this season.
He is fantastic. I think he's obviously the best goalkeeper in the league, in my opinion. But then, I mean, that save was fantastic. Take nothing away from it. Mignolet had one job to do in that game. One. And he did it resolutely. Yeah. And I don't think many people are talking about that. But the amount of times, that was the one easy chance. The last time we did this, and we say, we don't give that many chances away. But when we do, they're easy chances. They worked that really well.
Oh, it's beautiful
and
football.
Lukaku finishes that quite often. You know what I mean? So
that small teams.
Yeah, well, exactly. But you know what I mean? He has the quality to finish that off. And Mignolet just went, all right, it was straight down his throat, but he saved it. He stopped it. He nullified the threat. And that was the one he had. Did Lukaku have less touches than Mignolet that game? I'm sure.
I saw something on Twitter. I don't know how true it actually is. Okay, well, I've got a question coming in from Joel Van Herten. Did you guys agree with the starting lineup?
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
What changes would you have made, keeping in mind the likelihood of Mourinho's defensive setup, Ross?
Yeah, I agree with it, because I think for us that was available, that was our best 11.
And would you not like to see Coutinho drop into the centre?
No, because I don't think if you put Sturridge in there, don't, like, if you've already, Sturridge doesn't work, and then you end up putting Firmino out wide, which never works, and then I think Firmino is expensive. Sturridge comes into the first half. I don't think it's fair because of his work rate, the amount of stuff that he creates, the amount of time he has on the ball, his work with Coutinho and Salah, and that midfield link. I don't think he's the same as Sturridge, and like his work rate to get back, I don't think. And then the only other thing I might have done was maybe Dom Solanke, but then again you're putting Firmino out wide midfield.
Yeah. Saying that though, there's the option of Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain as well, isn't there? Yeah. You can just drop Coutinho into midfield without messing around with the forwards.
Definitely. I mean, in terms of how we're attacking, I think that's the way we had to go. We had to. The one thing that I'd say is maybe you'd switch Joe Gomez out for Trent. That's what I thought to start with. Joe Gomez had a blinder, like, and he just showed that look. He's good enough for this team. Maybe a right back, definitely. It's centre back. Don't know yet. He's not had the chance. But he's taken his opportunities this season, and it's really good to see. But he was the one thing that I thought maybe, but he proved me wrong.
I thought Moreno was bang up for that game as well. Yeah. We've all been his biggest critic, and he's like every game he just keep kind of building himself up again. And after this one, I thought, is that it now? It's time to stop like giving him some stick, because he threw in a last ditch tackle
on Young after on the save.
And then after that, he trapped back and then jumped in a bit behind to the side and slid in. And stuff was thought.
I must admit, the first 20 minutes they were getting open down his side, and I was a little bit disappointed with his positioning. After that, he obviously changed something. I don't know whether centre half was speaking to him or Klopp was speaking to him, or he just noticed himself that the ball kept going over his head. I thought he stood up to it really well. He was picked on by Manchester United. Every goal kick, every long ball was over to Ashley Young against Moreno, and he stood up and won the headers. I'd say maybe 8 times out of 10 for a midget. I think that's absolutely sound. Like, and really we've seen him do that against Lukaku when Everton played with Lukaku, and Lukaku would move out onto Moreno and target him, and it must fire you up as a defender to know that you're that weak link and you're getting picked on because they think you're shit.
Yeah.
And he stands up to it, and he stood up to it again. Like, I was again really impressed with him. So I've asked in the comments who was your man of the match and why. So we'll come to you guys after this. But Pog Donkey, Salah without a doubt. Byron Groenvold, Gomez, man of the match. Sarah Smith, Salah. Jewel Ahmed, Gomez. Jack Bascom, Gomez. Evan Donlevy, man of the match was Joe Gomez, defended so well and kept Martial quiet. Pog Donkey said Salah did skills and tricks, which was great to see, shows that he's not all about pace. Sarah Smith adds on to hers, Gomez, Salah, Hendo and Coutinho were the best for me. Personally, I went with Joe Gomez as well. I give him a 10 out of 10 on my player ratings. I think not only did he have Martial in his pocket, but they swapped the wingers round and they moved Young over to the left-hand side because Martial was getting absolutely no change out of Joe Gomez second half. And Young was in exactly the same boat. And, you know, it was telling for me just how good he was in a defensive sense. You know, he had that one where you think his positioning's bad as he's running over to the touchline, but I think Martial flicks it and it ends up just hitting Joe Gomez on the head and staying in place somehow. I thought he was superb during the game, but, you know, who were your man of the matches and why?
Well, I mean, it's hard not to look past him, but I think there was spells for Coutinho and Salah there. Both of them had maybe a 20-25 minute spell. Salah first half, Coutinho second half, where they both just went, I'm going to take the game by the scruff of the neck. Didn't quite work. I think if one of them scores, neither one of them, it's one of them. But I think it's got to be Joe Gomez. He just, like I said before, he stepped up and he's showing now. Like, Klein's out. When Klein comes back, this is going to be really weird. We have three right backs who I would have no problem coming into any game that we play. And Klein's going to have a tough time coming back in. I want him to come back in, obviously, but then does that let Gomez then come into the centre? I'd love to see that, because
good problems to have, isn't it? Rossi, was your man of the match, mate?
I'd have to go for Gomez, but I don't think Salah's far behind him. Yeah. But I think Gomez edges it because of, like you said, both wingers that he played. But I think it's the stature of the game and his age as well that people tend to forget about. You know, Salah's a lot more experienced, like, and internationally and in that league. But for him to come and play that game, you know, it's a massive game on for anyone's shoulders. But just to come in, be dead calm. And there was no point in that game where I was worried about our defence for the first time in months. Yeah. But Salah, in the first half with some of his touches and the way he was playing. Was just like, you can see he had that confidence from scoring that last minute penalty in the week. It just went straight to his head, and so it should do.
Yeah.
Okay. Obviously, I asked everybody in the comments section who was your man of the match and stuff, and Joshua Agogwa said De Gea because of the save, the cunt. Yeah, you know, it's a point save and save, isn't it? Okay, we'll go back into it then. People talking about Lovren lacking pace, but he kept the cards in his pocket. That was Lauren Sean. I thought Lovren was really good.
I thought it was amazing.
Yeah, and it kind of goes back to it for me, is that, you know, we did play a little bit more reserve. We were aware that they wanted to counter-attack. I don't think that was Mourinho parking the bus. I think it ended up them parking the bus because they had nothing to give. I don't think, and I question Full Time Devils on one of their videos, or Cheeky Sports on one of theirs, I can't remember, after the game. If that's Man United parking the bus, they don't play Mkhitaryan in the 10.
Yeah.
Because I just don't think he's that type of a player. You know, it's not a guy that you want backs to the wall defending as Henrik Mkhitaryan. And the fact is, I didn't even notice he was playing for 20 minutes. The ball hit him on his shoulder as Man United cleared it. I think it was the first touch he had in the game. And I think they came to counter-attack us, and we were so good at keeping them from having the ball that it ended up them second half having to park the bus because they were getting absolutely nothing out of us. Tom, question for you then. Who's happy with the point, mate?
Oof. I think it depends, because I want to know what all these United fans now are thinking now that they didn't beat us 4-0 conservatively.
I'll tell you what they're thinking. A point was really good against a really good side.
Yeah, exactly. And I think Mourinho knows that as well. And I'll be honest, I'm not too disappointed with a point. I'm happy with a clean sheet. I'm happy with the fact that, because it's weird, we played the same way that we have done for most of these games, and we've just... This one we didn't concede a late goal to make it a draw. This one we didn't. I don't know. It feels like the same result, but people are a lot more positive, which I'm happy about because I was positive after the other ones. There's a lot of good things to build on. I think we set our stall out and we wanted to win that, and I think I'm a little disappointed, but that's just because we played so well and we battered them. We stopped them from having anything. So I think they are, but.
I must admit, Ross, I'm in the same boat. I think Manchester United are much happier with a point from that game.
That's what they came for, like Tom says, though. I'm happy as well. Obviously, everyone would have preferred 3 points, but you look at that defensive display shows what we are capable of. We limited them to chances, and like, they're not a crap side, the amount of goals they've scored this year. They're only just behind City, I think, and goals they've scored. But it's just because they were on the ropes the whole game. Like, throughout, as that game went on, you kind of thought, or we'll score in a second, or after half an hour, or they'll come out and play now, they'll stop this defensive thing because the crowd's a bit quiet, and then they'll start to play. And I think it must have been hard for them to make that decision, as we said earlier, because you thought, well, they'll start playing now, and it got to an hour, and think, okay, they'll start playing in a minute, they're going to come and do it, and they just didn't, and they made it hard for us. And it's even more difficult when you've got De Gea in front of you, who's, like we said before, he's the best goalkeeper in the league, and he's been one of their best players for 3-4 years.
Okay, I'm going to ask a quick question of the comments first, and I'm going to ask you, Shane Byrne, who says, sick of three dudes sat around saying it rocks when they were watching the same game, it was crap. Let us know why you thought Liverpool were crap on the day, and we'll read your comments out as well, because obviously we don't feel like that, so we're not going to lie about our opinions, but if you give us a nice comment and tell us why, then we'll read that through and we'll talk about that comment as well, mate, so appreciate that.
Well, I'll go on, sorry.
And then I had another one lined up then. Sarah Smith says we need box-to-box players. Chan and Genius so poor offensively. Sarah, thanks for the comment. I disagree with that in part, because Genie Wijnaldum in that first half, I thought that was one of Genie's best games this season, to be honest with you. And, you know, I've seen it quite a bit on Twitter and stuff this week, and since the game. And it's how Genie never drives with the ball at his feet. I thought he did that. You know, he plays through Bobby Firmino in the first few minutes of the game, doesn't he? And he picks up the ball off Mo Salah, drives from inside the centre circle, drives to the edge of the box, plays Firmino through, gets on the end of Firmino's cross, nearly scores a goal. I want to see him do it more, but I don't think he's poor.
No, I was quite surprised when I was watching it, and kind of thought, oh my God, is that Genie Wijnaldum doing that? And he kind of go, like, credit, fair play for doing it, having the balls to go and do it. I don't think that the poor offensively. I think, like we said before, you're not sure what they get told to do. Like we said before, one of you go up front and two of you hold back in case we lose possession. they come and hit us on the counter, you need to be set up. You can't go like, well, let's say everyone just go gung-ho and then comes back and bites on the arse. Otherwise, you get comments going, oh, they're too offensive.
Well, Sarah's just said there, look how many goals Pogba scored, for example. And that's fair enough. I think, obviously, we play a different style. We're going to get that next season anyway. We're getting Naby Keita in, who's going to be that, hopefully.
Hopefully that box-to-box has got end product at both ends of the
pitch. So yeah, so I think as long as we batted them in the midfield that day,
and we make no mistake.
So I think it doesn't matter that we're not... I would love them to get a worldie or whatever, but I think we just were compact. We played really well, stifled everything. I think that's what that midfield set up to do, just to let our attackers go for it. And I think it's a big... If Lallana's in there, if we've got Mane, then Coutinho comes back in, and we've got that. So I think...
That's the point. That's the great point, because that's not our first-choice midfield.
No. Yeah.
And, you know, the Mane injury, the Adam Lallana injury, make it a midfield that we have to play, because you've got to fill in holes elsewhere.
Emery Can really score from throwing himself up front.
It was a great run-in as well from Emery Can again. OK, well, we'll wrap it up there, because the other guy... who I asked for his opinion on hasn't given us one, so apologies for that. There you go. Then I suppose the next thing to say is that we're obviously going to be recording the Final Word show later today. We've got Paul Machin hosting that one, of course. We've got John Machin, we've got Ben Kelly, and I'll be sitting on that. Then we'll be doing the Uncensored Match Build-Up show. But if you want to see the proper Final Word show, 45 minutes to an hour dissecting every incident from the Liverpool-Manchester United game. If you want to see the Lucas Leiva interview from when we went out to Rome just over a week ago, then you need to sign up to the RedmenTV.com. If you haven't yet, you should. It's only £5 a month. You get all the video versions of everything. We do exclusive podcasts as well. There's written content on the website. It's a one-stop shop for your LFC fandom. Get on there, get subscribed. You'll love it, I promise you. And if you don't, fuck it off. It's free for the first month. Gents, thanks for joining me once again. Like the video, subscribe to us on YouTube, and check me out later on the Starting 11 Prediction Show for the game.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode, and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Game against Maribor.